Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we teed up with our pals from Talk Radio News, Justin Dunham, in our virtual green room right now. Hey, speaking of things that are green, how about Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky? He's the next to go, obviously, announcing for president. But he threw down some interesting things having to do with pot. So what's the scoop on that?
Well, let's just say he knows where his bread is buttered in the situation. And basically, he's going to have to portray himself as the GOP candidate that can kind of move the Republican Party away from what it has been in so many years, away from sort of the Mitt Romney caricature. And he knows that he has appeal of young people. He was one of the few Republicans who were able to go onto the campus at UC Berkeley and actually receive a standing ovation. He's enticed quite a few young people with his talk on, combating the NSA or moving the U.S. away from drone warfare. And he also knows that he has sort of a built-in campaign apparatus to a large grassroots extent based off his father. And, of course, a lot of those people, I've interacted with a lot of them, I'm sure you have too, on the campaign trail. They care a lot about, anti-war issues and perhaps more prominently the sort of pot legalization issue. So it sort of makes sense that he would move this issue into the limelight, and it sort of follows the rhetoric we've seen from him so far when it comes to prison reform and reforming drug laws and whatnot.
Yeah, and we should say, too, so that everybody gets it, I mean, he's the first serious presidential candidate, I think, anyway, from either party to have anything to do with marijuana reform, right? And one of the things, the specific things, we're talking about medical marijuana, because if you remember, and Justin, you know this, he introduced a bill just last month that would prevent pretty much federal prosecution of patients in any of the states where medical marijuana has been legalized. And then there was support. He threw support for the growth of industrial hemp. And, that was part of the deal he was trying to push to make legislation go through last year that would allow states to actually grow hemp for research. So that's going to be interesting to watch how that plays out. Like you said, he knows where his bread is buttered, I think.
Also, you have to take a look at the state that he's coming from. That's Kentucky. And, even Mitch McConnell is, in fact, in favor of industrializing hemp and making that a big issue. And also, frankly, when it comes to medicinal marijuana, that's not really a controversial issue anymore. There was actually a poll that came out today from Quinnipiac University that showed about 80% of voters in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, huge swing states in 2016, are actually overwhelmingly in favor of medicinal marijuana.
Yeah, medical marijuana. All right, let's jump to the other big issue, and that, of course, is the fallout or the reaction, a better way to put it, to this deal with Iran. Now it's kind of the president, I guess, going it alone, selling it to Congress because, they're talking about taking it up anyway in the Senate, and they're going to respond to the Iran deal. But the president said, didn't he today, that if it had to be non-binding, then it's non-binding. So is he kind of saying, if I have to go this alone, that's fine?
Essentially, they are writing off Congress to a large extent. There are a strong number of Democrats right now who are supporting legislation that essentially improve Congress's diplomatic standing in this situation. Chuck Schumer was one of the big ones who recently came out in favor of this, which has primarily been sort of a Republican piece of legislation at this point. And that certainly changes the dynamic on things. He, of course, is going to be the next minority or majority leader, depending on how 2016 plays out. So that's a big deal. So right now, the president and the White House has been indicating that they're going to be doing a huge push with Congress. They wouldn't really give the exact details of that, but right now it's sort of, their attempt to try to stop the Senate from sort of setting these talks on fire or, leading them to a situation like the League of Nations where it fell apart once it came forward to the Senate, and trying to preserve what the White House is really counting as a major diplomatic victory at this point.
Yeah. How about the reaction to Indiana and the religious law that was passed in Indiana, and it reverberated across the country? And I know that federally, not that they're talking about doing anything, making any kind of law like that, but just there's been reaction to it. What are you hearing in Washington? And, of course, the governor changed the language.
Yeah, and he is getting some mild kudos from that. And frankly, just in the bigger picture of things, you really just have to realize how much we've changed since the early days of 2012 in just a number of short years. We now have a red state governor who was until recently planning on running for president, essentially coming forward and trying to show off how accepting and non-homophobic it is. This, however, has been decried by a number of, Republican presidential candidates, a few of whom are accusing him of sort of kowtowing to a lot of sort of liberal interests that have come up in this. And there's, of course, sort of a push from Republicans to try to point, paint this as a hypocritical measure, noting that in Illinois, Barack Obama, when he was a state senator, actually supported a similar religious freedom bill. But nevertheless, it's, being seen as a huge misfire on behalf of, Pence right out the gate, the governor of Indiana. And, this is drawing a lot of attention to, how exactly the U.S. is going to confront these sort of gay rights issues when they arise.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. All right, anything else? Big shake in Washington on this Monday. I mean, what, we got a college hoop national championship game. I know that some people were wagering on that. But it seems kind of as though there's a crescendo happening later as we've got some Supreme Court, opinions that will come down. But that's not really till June. And there's this in-between period, I guess, with the Iran thing. But was there anything else that shook out on the Hill that was interesting?
Well, big news today. There was the White House Easter egg roll. And as a humble reporter coming on here, I can tell you I was on the scene for that. It went pretty smoothly for the most part, except for one moment when the president was reading Where the Wild Things Are, and a bee apparently flew a little bit too close to some of the kids. This resulted in, a bit of an upcry. We saw a number of kids instantly freaking out. The president tried to assure them that no, bees are good, it's not going to sting you. And there was at least one strong-willed little girl who spoke back to the president, a la Joe Wilson, and said, no, bees are scary and they will sting you. So we got to see Obama trying to calm down a group of people who were freaking out. And in this instance, they were not members of Congress, which is kind of a welcome change.
Oh, I love it. That's so funny. All right, Justin Duckham, as always, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Interesting. Talking to Justin there about, there were a couple of people on the floor that were convincing back and forth about the national title game. And it's the Blue Devils who win. So it's the fifth title for Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, pulling down his fifth net, if you will. It's huge, obviously. The only men's coach with more is the legendary John Wooden, who coached UCLA forever with 10, but 5 wins for him. So Duke with a big win over Wisconsin. It came down to the final moments. 68-63 was the score there. And that's it. It's a wrap for March Madness. So many of you telling me that you were in pools, asking me for some advice for however much that was worth, especially since I really thought Kentucky was going to roll all the way through and they were going to be the team of destiny with 40 wins, no losses. And sure enough, they were stopped in their tracks by Wisconsin. And I mean, there you have it. So Wisconsin's 4 seniors kind of hung their heads because, boy, they were so close to that title. They probably tasted it. But, the shooting wasn't there for them. 10 for 27 shooting. And the freshman for Duke finished with 60 points, 4 freshmen, which is really incredible. Stay with us. We've just scratched the surface. More next on the flip side here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. choices, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
Tonight, our next segment, conversation with Ivan Elin from Washington, D.C., about what's going on with Iran and this agreement with Iran and what it means. What does it mean in the future? And will the blessing come down from the hill, or does it turn into something much more than that? And how significant is it to have any kind of a deal with Iran? Or is it... Do you have to keep one eye open, as I have said so often here on the show? I don't know. To me, I think of the laws and I think of the situation with Iran. And on one hand, I believe in the theory of keeping your enemies close. On the other hand, I think, wow, watch your back, brother. Watch your back with the possibility of even more nuclear capabilities. And as I said before, to me, it's more about what nut could get their hand on the power of a nuke versus the cooler heads that prevail, and where would be the worst place to have that possibility. And you know, to me, I mean, obviously, in many places in the Middle East, the quicksand of time, for sure. All right, as we rock and roll through this segment, I'll remind you again, because now I just got hit up here by Connie and Joe, who said, Who won, Kate? The game, well, I'll say it again. Duke beat Wisconsin 68-63, so it's a Blue Devil Monday and a fifth win for Coach K, which puts him in the history books. Let's go to Jack in Australia. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Kate. I hope you had a great Easter weekend. I saw on your Facebook you were out playing with some balls, getting ready for the Pro-Am.
I was out hitting some golf balls, because if I'm going to play with people who are driving the ball 210 yards or more, I got to hit it a little bit further than 150.
That's usually the way. Now, over the weekend, it was very interesting. I managed to see, was it a 4 or 5-year-old, actually call President Obama pretty much a lie to his face over a bee. Now, that's a ball. That's a ballsy little
thing. I know.
How bad must the president be if he can't even fool a 5-year-old without getting sprung? I mean, that's how bad it is. But also, I want to thank you, Kate, because I thought this was just an Australian thing when it came to sport. But you proved over this Easter weekend that a new universal constant when it comes to sports broadcasting and tipping. As I said, I thought it was just an Australian thing where if you wanted to know who was going to lose a particular sporting tournament, watch the sports broadcasters, and whoever they tipped, you'd pick the opposite.
Oh, you smart Alec, yes.
we had a former AFL player who went into commentating when his football career, his tips got known as the kiss of death. He had a 90% tipping average that went the opposite way during his broadcasting career. And now here you've gone and proved it on the weekend that it's not just an Australian thing, it's a universal constant. You tipped Kentucky to go all the way, I believe, repeatedly over the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And where were they?
Well, they made it to the semifinals and then got knocked out, and they looked terrible in that game. I mean, just awful. Yep.
Good for
Wisconsin for moving on and Duke. But, yeah, I was wrong. I thought for sure they would be the perfect team just like Indiana was in 76, but it didn't happen. You're right. Sometimes that crystal ball doesn't work.
You're going to have to get a new one. I think that crystal ball of yours has got some severe cracks.
I think I have to crash it. I did once in New York. I think I have to go back again and throw it on the ground because it's not working. You're absolutely right. Thanks for the gig, Jack, but you are right, my friend. I was not good, thanks, at my predictions. I mean, because he's right. I must have said 100 times on this show, probably too many times, because I was asked constantly. I really did believe that Kentucky was going to do it. But, of course, if I knew exactly who was going to win and I could predict the outcomes of elections and sporting events, I don't know. Would I be behind this microphone? I have a feeling. I don't know. I don't know that I would be behind this microphone if I had a line on everything that was going to happen. But I do like predictions. You know, I smash the ball, but then I go right back to it again. And there you go. Hey, there was an interesting story that broke about Bo Bergdahl. You know, so much was made when he came back, and initially there was going to be a parade in his hometown in Idaho, and then immediately there was a back off of that. And now, of course, you know, he's charged with the main charge is desertion. And the question is about the trading for the prisoners, 5 for 1, the 5 from Gitmo, and one of them supposedly now is again back into radical ways. And when we first initially knew that he was going to be charged after such a long time, because it's been almost a year, not quite a year, but almost a year since Bergdahl was retrieved, was rescued, and came back, now they're talking about these messages that Bergdahl contacted Afghanistan before he departed. So, wow. So what's up with that? What does it mean, you know, these questions, this new report in this investigation, in this NCIS investigation, but many years ago, they were looking into what he was doing while, you know, in Afghanistan, and they say there was clear evidence that he was going to the other side with a deliberate plan. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer is saying this. He's talked to a couple of different people, including he was on the O'Reilly Factor and talked about it, and said that a couple of senior sources told him that the Naval Criminal Investigation Service, which is what the acronym NCIS stands for, you all know that, right? I'm sure from the TV show, but that they show that there's in this forensic review of his computer that he was trying to travel to Uzbekistan and he was going to go off there, and he had made contact with local Afghans and wanted to be moved there, and then made contact with the Russians because he wanted to talk to to talk to Russian organized crime. So, wow, this was not made public. And now that it's being leaked out, and there's a lot of sources on this, because here's the thing, you're going to break a story, leak a story. If you have really hardcore sources, yeah, I'm going to say that there's some information on that, especially this is an investigative report. So what they're saying is the information that was collected at the time Bergdahl made contact with an Afghan in an effort to lay the groundwork for getting away. And he was trying to offer himself up with the Taliban, I guess. I mean, wow. That certainly changes a lot of things, doesn't it? It really does. So he was working the wire. He's trying to make something else happen, or at least it appears that way from their investigation, right? Because you got to think about this. If the team that's investigating this, there's no vested interest in trying to make a bunch of nonsense up about Bergdahl, so wash that out of your minds and just go with what the report says. And the reports with all these different interviews that were in the report clearly is showing that's why he was charged with misbehavior. That was the other part. I didn't understand that initially because, you know, desertion was the one thing. We understand that. But misbehavior, that's the reason why. Misbehavior toward the enemy. That he was working outside of the wire. So there you go with the desertion. There you go with the other part of that misbehavior thing. It's a good thing they didn't have that parade because, boy, there's more questions than answers. More questions than answers when it comes to Bergdahl and what he was doing. I mean, there was clear evidence that that's what he was going to do, that he was going to jump over. And it makes sense. You know, he hasn't had contact with his family. He went through the procedure and worked when he was brought back. But the entire time in this investigation, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, they started to turn over. And like I said, if it's hardcore investigative data, they have it, they know it. This is why the misbehavior, you know. So I don't know, when we're saying, oh, you know, can you imagine being over there? Of course you lose your mind. There's terrible things that happen. Half the people that are there, I'm sure, would love to walk away after they've seen people blown in half, almost were blown up themselves. You know, the kind of the horrors of what people have seen. But now it looks like a completely different scenario for Bergdahl. And I find that fascinating, and it makes sense with the misbehavior charge, that's for sure. All right, so we're going to talk to Ivan Elin next about Iran and what's going to happen. Does it matter if it goes through Congress or what? And the significance of negotiating with the Iranians, and is it a smart move, a thumbs up, thumbs down, or somewhere in between? That's next on America Tonight.
By now, you may have heard a bit about bitcoins. But did you know bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Our pal Ivan Elin, who wrote just another great piece in Huffington Post having to do with Iran and this agreement. And boy, there's been a lot of speculation as to what's going to happen now. And Republicans are saying that they don't trust what's happening there. And they're not the only ones. But in the world of negotiating, I think you do have to give some cred to the White House for making this happen. And I believe Ivan feels the same way. Ivan, thanks for coming on. And what was your initial reaction to having this, the framework anyway, of this come together?
Well, my initial reaction was that it was a better agreement than I thought they would be able to get. I think they are truthful in that they say they have blocked all paths to a nuclear weapon, or at least delayed, you know, the ability to get a bomb quickly. You know, lengthen the time that Iran would be able to race to get a nuclear weapon if they made a decision to. And I think, you know, the people that are opposing this already, of course, we haven't seen the details in the final agreement, and there's still some gray areas that both sides are kind of you know, giving their own version on, like, inspections and sanctions relief. How is that going to, you know, happen? And those are crucial items. But nonetheless, the elements that they've announced already sound pretty good as far as getting Iran to, you know, to agree to these things has been a pretty big accomplishment. And even Republicans like Richard Haass, who are, you know, less hawkish, are saying, you know, this was better than we thought we would get. And even Democrats like Dianne Feinstein, mm-hmm. who are very close supporters of Israel, have also said the same thing. And I think Israel and the hawkish Republicans who support Netanyahu, and that's not all Israelis, but it's the hawkish wing of the Israeli spectrum, I think they need to think of two things. The first thing is Iran has two major enrichment facilities. One is Natanz, and the other one is a place called Fordo, which is buried deep underground to withstand airstrikes. Well, in the agreement, they can only enrich uranium at the above-ground facility in Natanz. Now, we don't really have a viable military option now, but if you can inspect the underground facility and they are only allowed to enrich above ground, then you do have a military option in the future. So that's one point. The other point is that Netanyahu and the Republicans are saying, well, you know, let's ratchet up sanctions. We can get a better agreement. Well, first of all, if the U.S. is seen to be to have killed the negotiations, the Europeans are going to bail out on the sanctions very quickly because we have more less trade with Iran than they do, and they would like to have more trade with Iran, which is one of the reasons that they want this deal to go through. So I think that's kind of a non-starter. The other problem with that is that if when you trade off a current agreement for a future agreement, what if you don't get a future agreement? Iran is going to, be able to keep enriching uranium towards a bomb. So, of course, then the only alternative will be war, and I think that's what the hawkish Republicans in Israel would like to see. But a war, unfortunately, with these deeply buried facilities will only probably set back the Iranian nuclear program 1 to 3 years and delay it. And they will, then they'll go all out to get a nuclear weapon because they've been attacked.
And isn't it, I mean, obviously, you know, you talked about Fordo, and I think I saw the energy secretary was talking about that and saying that there's no way and they're not enriching uranium there. And so all this nonsense about it could be enriched, it's not even happening and there's no way it can happen. To your point of saying that, you know, that's one thing you don't want to see is the underground facility going in that direction. So he's already saying we have intel, we know the information, and that's not happening. Do you think that's accurate, though?
Well, I think that under the agreement, it doesn't matter if it's happening now or not. It will happen. They're installing new high-speed centrifuges, which make these older ones look very primitive. And under the agreement, they only get to enrich under the primitive ones. Now, they don't have to destroy the other ones, but they can't enrich them. And this Fordo facility would be an enrichment facility.
Mm.
And it would be, it would be underground, so it would be hard to knock out with any military strike. But under the agreement, this will be prohibited. They'll transfer it into or convert it into a research facility, and therefore you can send inspectors in there to monitor it and make sure that it is the research facility. Then you only have above-ground enrichment, which you can target with military action if you need to.
So in doing this deal, in having this deal happen, and you and I have talked about executive actions before and whatnot, in the case of the president with Congress here, if the American public really embraces this idea, isn't it better for Congress then to go along with it?
Well, I think Congress does need to ratify this because this is an important agreement. I think the strategy for Obama is that, I think it is a good case to make that this is about the best agreement you're ever going to get with Iran, and it will, you know, significantly limit their nuclear program for 10 to 15 years. We can worry about the 10 to 15 years when we get there, but right now, many people say Iran is 2 to 3 months from getting a nuclear weapon. This would probably lengthen that breakout, what they call a breakout period, where they could raise to a weapon to at least a year, and will hold it, hold that period for, you know, 10 or 15 year period. But I think the Congress does need to approve this, but what Obama should do, instead of trying to skirt the Congress, the constitutional role of the Congress, is to go to the American people and say, listen, this is a very important, you know, even do an Oval Office speech, say, this, you know, this is a very important agreement, and we need support from Democrats and Republicans and everybody. Write your congressmen and senators and tell them that they need to approve this. And, you know, even hawkish Republicans read their mail. And I think Obama needs to do this the old-fashioned LBJ way, and that is to round up votes and count votes and get the thing passed, not skirt the issue.
Yeah. Is it better for the U.S. to have a closer tie with Iran? I mean, that seems like such a silly question. But when we look at what's going on with ISIS, and, oh, my gosh, every day there are reports from Syria and Iraq, and who knows what's next. There have been reports about Afghanistan, you know, kind of teetering into Afghanistan. So isn't it better to try to have a meaningful relationship with Iran rather than a hostile one?
Well, I think, you know, we don't need to be friends with Iran, but we need to treat them like every other country, and that is sometimes we agree with them and sometimes we don't. And it's the same way with the Saudi Arabians and other countries, right? And with ISIS, they're helping to battle ISIS, whether we like to coordinate with them overtly or not. I think we probably are coordinating with them under the table. Also, as you point out in Afghanistan, we might share some interests. And certainly battling Al-Qaeda, we may share some interests, since Al-Qaeda is a revolutionary Sunni Islamist group. And so is ISIS, and Iran is a Shiite country, and therefore usually they line up against these radical Sunni groups. So there's all sorts of areas of cooperation that Iran and the U.S. could have. But the problem with America is that we demonize people like Milosevic, Saddam Hussein, Gaddafi. So you can't run a sophisticated foreign policy of disagreeing with the country on one thing and agreeing with them on the other thing. It always has to be this moralistic crusade. And then when we do overthrow people like Gaddafi or Saddam Hussein, we get chaos and even more radical leaders, and we wonder why. So I think we need to be more sophisticated. I think we've been trying to overthrow the Ayatollahs in Iran for years, and we haven't been successful. So we might as well just say, hey, sometimes we're going to agree with these people. They don't seem as radical anymore compared to ISIS and Al-Qaeda. So I think, you know, we need to have a more sophisticated policy and say, and I think that's what Israel and the Arab, Sunni Arab countries who all oppose Iran are really seeing here, is not just the nuclear weapons, because Israel has 200 to 400 nuclear weapons already, and Iran would probably get a handful of these things. So Israel would still have deterrence, dominance of deterrence. What they're really scared of, the Israelis and the Sunni Arab states, is that the balance of power is going to shift in the region, and Iran is a potentially big and powerful country because it has a lot of people and it has a viable source of oil as an economic base. And it might be more aligned with the superpower. And, of course, they would be diminished, have their relationship diminished with the superpower. But, that doesn't necessarily mean that we can't have some relations with them, too. It's not going to change overnight. And I think there's the only selective areas where we would want to cooperate with Iran. This would not be a complete reversal of policy where we're now opposed to Israel and the Sunni Arab states like Saudi Arabia and in favor of Iran. This would be a more nuanced policy as we really need.
Yeah, boy, that certainly sounds good to me. That makes sense. All right, you got 30 seconds. Are the Nationals going to go to the World Series this time around or not?
Well, they certainly have a powerful team, and I think it's all or nothing because they have several people that are going to be free agents at the end of the season. So I think this is the year to do it if they're going to do it.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, Ivan Elin, appreciate it so much. Senior fellow and director at the Center on Peace and Liberty at the Independent Institute. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
Well, as we round the corner in this final segment for this hour, faster than 15 clowns can be shot out of a cannon. It's time for a new segment called And Then There's This. We talked about Fukushima, of course, when it happened. In fact, I was in Los Angeles when it happened, and it didn't seem like much until you really saw the video and realized, oh, man, I can't believe what's happening with that tsunami and then what happened to the nuclear plant, Fukushima. So what's interesting is, and not interesting, but at the time, many of you called this show, and we had a couple of scientists on. We had some other people versed in nuclear radiation and all that kind of stuff, right? We looked at all different angles of this. So seaborne radiation from Fukushima's nuclear disaster, check it out, has reached North America. Scientists at the Woods Hole Oceanographer Institute detected some trace amounts of radiation in a sample of seawater that was taken in February from a dock on Vancouver Island. Wow. I'm sorry. I don't care if they tell you it's could fit in a thimble, whatever it is. Not great news to hear that, right, British Columbia? So it's the first time radioactivity from March of 2011, that triple meltdown, was actually identified on the West Coast. And at Woods Hole, they emphasize that the radiation is at very low levels, so that's not expected, there's your key word, to harm human health or the environment. But that's not a comforting thought. It does show you, yes, hey, don't think that this fallout, don't think that this can't reach you, that it can't be driven all the way across those shores, and think of the time period that that happened. So massive amounts, of course, of contaminated water were released from the nuclear plant following that earthquake and tsunami. And then more radiation out into the air falls into the sea. And there wasn't any monitoring. There wasn't any monitoring. In fact, there were people that were so upset about that, that there was a crowd-funded seawater sampling project that was jump-started as a result of it. So there's a radiation plume. They've actually traced the radiation plume across 5,000 miles of the Pacific using some pretty expensive equipment from a laboratory in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and they analyzed the samples there sent from the West Coast volunteers and the scientists that are on these research cruises, and that's what they're finding. So the first sample in October, they said, was about 745 miles west of Vancouver. That tested positive, and they can tell that it was the fingerprints of Fukushima because it could have only come from that plant because of what it tested positive for. And in November, they reported that, because that was in October, in November they reported that Fukushima radiation had been identified in 10 samples, 100 miles off the coast of Eureka, California. And the Vancouver sample was taken in mid-February from a dock. I don't know, it gives you reason to pause, doesn't it? Certainly. I mean, I wouldn't want to hear, oh, yeah, by the way, we found trace amounts of radiation that we can trace back to what happened in Fukushima. And it goes to emphasize the dangers that lie from where they place that plant, which is ridiculous. Of all the places where you could put a plant, I mean, therein lies the problem of Fukushima. And if you've seen any of the aftermath of that, it's like a ghost town at this point. People, of course, couldn't go back in, and they would let people kind of occasionally come in to grab things that they thought it was okay for them to take, but just here and there. Very frustrating. Fits perfectly into our segment, and then there's this. And then there's this. And any time that we hear about lockdowns, I mean, you know, kids, all of my nieces and nephews, they're almost desensitized to it. They understand it. They've all practiced it. They all, every single one of them. And, you know, some are in New Jersey, some are in Florida. They know what to do if there is somebody that comes into the school, if there is a gunman that comes into the school, and they've been told that. Can you imagine? They've been told that. So there was a lockdown at Hallman Elementary. And the reason the school district had the lockdown is because they said that there was police activity in the area, and saying that there was police activity in the area meant that they thought someone was at the school, a man with a gun. This is in Massachusetts, by the way, Hallman Elementary. So they respond, you know, the police immediately swarm, but the way the alarms go off and everything, boom, lockdown, immediately, lockdown mode. There's a man with a gun. There's somebody with a gun. And my point of bringing up this and then there is this is the fact that this is what kids are living with, that they have these, they practice, they know. And can you blame the school districts? I suppose if I were the superintendent of a school district, there would definitely be things I would be pushing for. Number one, at the very least, I would want a guard, an armed guard at every school. I really would. Because why not have the professional, the cop that was on the beat forever, or the detective, or whoever, worth the money? I mean, listen, schools are great at raising funds for all kinds of things. So if they can raise funds for sports teams and, you know, other activity, then I would assume they could do that to post guards. So I would be all about that. I'd be all about let's at least make sure that's happening. Let's make sure that's going on here. And not have that exposure, not be as exposed. Let's put it that way. Not as exposed. I think really the biggest thing coming out of another lockdown is just this is just a common occurrence these days in America, sadly. So if you were celebrating Easter, I wonder if you had an Easter basket. The Easter candy, the amount of Easter candy that's sold, which today if you went to the store you would get 50% off probably, at least a grocery store, but the amount of Easter candy that's sold is staggering. I read something the other day, $1.5 billion worth. Billion with a B. And a lot of that is those bunnies, those hollow bunnies, the chocolate ones. I guess some of them aren't hollow, but some of them are hollow. And the other thing is jelly beans, a crazy amount of jelly beans. I mean, it's jelly bean central because jelly beans are sold other times of year, naturally. But, and they can be Halloween candy, but it's really identified with spring and Easter.
I just think that Peeps are the worst thing ever.
Oh, I hate those.
Those things are just nasty.
I went Peeps in the street. I saw some Peeps in the street today. I figured some kid threw them out of his. I don't want these Peeps,
yeah,
these stinking Peeps.
I feel bad
Peeps
for the people that get those. I was a big Cadbury cream egg person.
Oh,
I loved those when I was a kid.
I like Cadbury cream too, but I like the malt balls. Any of those kind of malt balls?
Yeah.
Remember those?
Yeah,
different
I do.
Colors?
Right.
They were pretty good. But my mother used to give us, there would be, it would be a chocolate egg, a giant chocolate egg, and there'd be candy in the egg and some money, and that was awesome. You know, big. We had these big chocolate eggs, and it was easy to eat them.
You could bite the ears off the rabbit.
No, I never did that. I don't remember biting the ears off the rabbit. I'm sure my brother did that, but I don't remember doing that. Did you get a big chocolate rabbit?
This year?
No, when you were a kid, did you get big rabbits and stuff?
I remember the Cadbury eggs, and then because that's like the one thing I always wanted, and you could only get them around Easter.
During Easter.
But I don't remember getting a massive thing of chocolate. I don't know. I'm sure like an aunt and our uncle gave one to me one time.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. If you've got aunts, uncles, and relatives around, especially if they don't have kids, then you are going to clean up, so to speak. So that could be a good thing, the Easter hangover. As long as you know, the problem is trying to spread that candy out. And I think, I talked to my niece after I saw her on Easter, and she's 10, and she's, you know, very slim and little and cute. And I said to her, which doesn't matter, except for I can't picture her eating this amount of candy. She said, "Aunt Kate, I got my favorite thing in my Easter basket." I said, "What'd you get?" Reese's peanut butter cups. Great. She said, "I feel sick, though. I ate 10 of them." 10! Are you kidding me? 10. Multiply that. Going down 10. I said, just all in a row. All in a row, Aunt Kate. I don't even want any ham. I don't even want to eat anything. I had all that chocolate. Ooh!
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.